This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Brian Haley, head coach, Endicott Baseball, in his 17th season. And the team right now, 31 wins, 2 losses, 8 wins in a row, 18-0 at home. Coach Haley, season's going well.
Yeah, no, we've been playing good baseball and just trying to keep like focusing on being ourselves and just playing good ball each day. That's kind of been our focal point all year long.
I want to get into a few specifics with the team and have you talk about a few notes and players and so on. But overall, just tell our listeners your philosophy and this building of success. You're now number one ranking. We'll get to that in a moment. But give us an overview on your philosophy and so on with this program that has led to this success.
Yeah, it's been the same for all 17 years. We built a culture in 2008. Basically built around, you know, being a baseball family, supporting each other, being men of high quality character and doing the right thing, and then being physically and mentally tough, putting a lot of work in the weight room, understanding how to be present in the moment as a competitor. Those are kind of the key principles.
Was talking with the players, and one of them mentioned something about winning every inning. Tell me more about that. Is that something that's come out of your mouth?
Probably. It's usually like win the pitch. We try to break it down even more. So if you can just compete in the moment and win each pitch, you're doing a pretty good job as a competitor and a baseball player.
All right. The ranking, the number one ranking. Now, I remember earlier this spring when you Sean Medeiros pumped out the information that you guys are number one in the country. And I think, okay, cool. That's pretty neat. And then it happened the second week. But in my back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, in baseball, no one stays number one all spring long. Or it doesn't happen that way. But here you are now, number one for 6 straight weeks. What I know it means nothing really in the big picture at the end of the year, but give me your thoughts on this ranking.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about the ranking from other people, and like you said, you can't really focus on it. You just got to focus on having the guys play their game and be themselves. I came to find out about it. It was interesting. We lost our first game of the year to Wisconsin. Stevens Point, we had a couple guys in the dugout after talking about the rankings, which I found a little bit of a distraction and that their mind maybe being in the wrong spot. So I kind of laid into the team a little bit about not getting caught up in that, as it's just a distraction. And then later on, literally probably 5 minutes later, I looked at my cell phone and I had about 50 text messages saying congratulations on the number one ranking. So it definitely means something. It's historic. We're proud of it. But it's not something we think about or focus on. If we start focusing on that or worrying about that, we're just not going to be the best version of ourselves. So we just try to play ball each day and have some fun.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that game, the loss in Florida. And I was thinking of asking you about that, or the 2 losses. So you've 33 games, just 2 losses. Now, a baseball coach at the end, coming to the end of the regular season, is never asked. I don't think you're ever baseball coaches or managers are asked about, hey, what about this game you lost in April? Or what about this game, MLB manager, these 2 losses you had? Football coaches, yes, that could come up with a 10-game, 11-game schedule or whatever. But tell me, what can you tell me about the 2 losses? What do you take from those, or how do you put those in context?
Yeah, I mean, we usually say win or learn, and we had things to learn in both games where we just had to do a little bit better job in certain areas. It's funny because when I don't often present how we're doing. People will ask me, and I'll let them know. And if they ask my record or our record, I'll certainly let them know. And the first question after that is, well, who beat you? Well,
yes, you're right.
It's an interesting place to be. I mean, I'm proud of what we're doing right now. I think we just keep focusing on each game and trying to win each pitch and do our thing. But, yeah, no, it does come up about the losses, the 2 of them, so...
I know, it's just, do I deserve this question? You know, it's not right. Here we are talking about this and talking about this great, the great season you guys are having. All right, so you're no stranger to the NCAAs. Hopefully that's where you'll be coming up in a few weeks. But tell us about last year's NCAA experience.
Well, it was amazing. Great group of guys, amazing run. We actually lost the first game in the regional to Bridgewater State. So we really had to be resilient, and really at that point it's do or die. You have to win each game. We won 4 in a row there to win that, and then we're able to host the Super Regional here for the second time in a row. We had done that in 2022 as well, played a great Ithaca team and just played really good baseball and found a way to beat them twice and advanced to the World Series for the first time in program history, which was an amazing run. We wish we had performed a little better out in Iowa, but I think that kind of motivates us this year to keep driving forward and not take any pitches off.
Well, as we talk here on Friday, 7 more regular season games to go for you guys. You're on the road on Saturday tomorrow at Hartford. But I guess, Coach, tell us about this team. When we talk about players, we always like to hear about the local players, but, just focus on some of the key players that you think are driving this. And I get it. It's a team effort. You do not do this without, kind of top to bottom kind of contributions. But where do you begin to talk about players?
Yeah, I do have a hard time talking about individuals because I always forget someone who's a key player. I think I'll speak to some of the leaders that you met with this morning. And one of them couldn't be here because he's in class. But John Mulready is our captain and really our fearless leader. John had a pretty substantial injury down in Florida and missed 21 games. He's now back. We're all excited to have him back. And during that time, James Benestad, freshman catcher, caught 21 straight games and did an amazing job. But getting back to Red, he's a big part of, keeping our minds focused in the right place. I'd say Danny McDougal, who you met with this morning, who's a junior, who transferred in from Maine, does a really good job with that as well. And they're probably the two more vocal leaders. Jordan Gottesman has been an ace on the mound for us and is also vocal and a great leader, another senior as well. Nick Notarangelo keeps it loose for us and, does his job as well. He's a great kid, really focused, understands what he has to do to get prepared and does that. So he leads by example in that way as well. But it's not just them. It's really the younger guys following what they're doing and working really hard. A lot of these guys didn't play as freshmen, and I think that's something where, as a freshman, it's a little tough to come into a program that's doing well and not play when you've been the big man, in high school. But I think they understand that their job is to continue to work really hard and run their own race and be patient. And then when the opportunity comes, like James's did, be ready for that. And he ran with it. Charlie Hale's another freshman that stepped up for us huge on the mound. And then Brendan Walsh has stepped in at center with some injuries. So it's not just the leaders. It's all the way through, juniors, sophomores, and the like, all the way down to the freshmen. But I think just being prepared to step up when the chance comes.
How about, let me just ask you this, though. If you have players that at this level, they're excelling at their positions, offensively, defensively. So, and you mentioned players and their roles to some extent, but what about a defensive play? What player turns in defensive gems for you, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, TJ Laponis at shortstop is one of the best shortstops in the country. Rob Bukowski is one of the best third basemen in the country. Dylan Pacheco is one of the best second basemen in the country, and Danny McDougal is one of the best first basemen in the country. We're blessed. As John Mulready won the Defensive Player of the Year in the country last year, he was recognized with that award. And then you go through the outfield, and it's a lot of the same. Joey Framartino and Wright, either Zach Stevenson, Dylan Pacheco, or Brendan Walsh in center, and Nick Notarangelo in left. We take pride in our defense, and it's something that the guys know they're not getting in the lineup unless they're a DH, unless they play high-level defense. So, honestly, every player can D up at a high, high level, and that's something we're really proud of.
Yeah. As far as pitching and a closer, do you have somebody that takes that role that is your closer?
We've had multiple guys do that this year, depending on matchups. But two guys who have really stepped up as sophomores, three really, have been Kyan Bagshaw. He's done an incredible job. Evan Scully, who's a right-handed pitcher, Kyan's a lefty, and then Brady Stewart. Those three guys are all sophomores who've been key pieces out of the pen. Will Fox, who's kind of working through an injury but came and started a game yesterday out of necessity, did an amazing job for us, and he's one of the late-inning guys as well. Those four come to mind right away. We have others that serve roles in the pen as well, but those are probably the four that pitch on the back end the most.
And as far as coaches, tell us about the coaching staff here at Endicott.
Yeah, so Alex Loparco just joined us this year. Our longtime assistant, Harry Oehringer, took a head job at St. A's and is working to build the program up there. So Alex came in. I met him on the road recruiting last summer, actually, and his coach, Dan Gomez, played for me in 2008. He was my first captain here. And I just got a really good feeling about him. He worked really hard. He was very focused. And then talking to Danny and then meeting with him in the interview process, he just seemed like a perfect fit. And he really has been. The guys love him. He puts in countless hours in the cages with them during the day prior to practice. He really cares about them. He cares about how they're doing in life, and I think he's just a perfect fit for the program. We're also blessed to have Steve Busby. I think it's his sixth or seventh year here. Steve's a longtime head coach at Austin Prep, won a state championship there. Great baseball mind. He's been with us for a while now. And then Pat Tevenin, who played for me last year as a grad student, decided to stay on and work with the catchers. And Tevi brings another element of hard work and determination. He's really built that catching group, and to call him Team 2, into a great group of young men.
Brian, you know, your 17th year here, and tell me about how you feel the program has evolved over those years. I mean, the things you do day one are different than the things you're doing now, for sure. But tell us about that process, and did you ever see this coming? I mean, or is it just a kind of a you're taking it day by day, and here you find yourself where you're at?
Yeah, I mean, the goal is always to try to win a national championship, and you know, anyone who's chasing a goal has to see it coming before it happens. So I think, yeah, we've kind of visualized it. To get here, it's a lot of hard work, and I think honestly nothing probably has helped us more than Jack Dustin. No one. Jack is our head strength coach here. He's one of the best I've ever worked with, and I've worked at several different institutions with many, many different strength coaches, and they're all great, but Jack just takes it to another level. So the physicality of our guys and just the work they put in the weight room has really elevated our program to what I'd call the next level and the elite level. And I think that's probably the one factor above all. There's a lot of factors, but above all, that commitment to strength and building that mobility and health, it's just been amazing. And I think that's a huge factor to point to for sure.
Well, let me ask you this one last question, if you will. Coach, tomorrow they're honoring Frank DeFelice over in Swampscott, longtime baseball head coach and football coach, actually, in Swampscott. But also a coach with Endicott baseball. So I know you can't be there because you're on the road with the baseball team.
Yeah, I love Frank DeFelice. He's one of my favorite humans on earth. I am sad that I can't be there tomorrow, but I certainly know he'll understand with us having two games in Hartford. Frank was with us. He's still with us in spirit. He's still on the website. He'll be the first to let you know he's still a consultant for us, and he is. He has provided so much insight, not just about baseball, but about, you know, working with young men and understanding how to make sure we're encouraging them and just make them better people. Frank's like he's a special, special person, and anyone who's had an interaction with him kind of understands that. The stories that he has and still has, his mind's still very sharp, are amazing, and just the people he's impacted in his life. And I just, thinking about him, like, gets me choked up a little bit as he's, you know, he's aging a little bit. He's still doing well. But I'm sad I can't be there. But Frank, if you hear this, I love you, and I wish I could be there. And congratulations on an honor well deserved.
All right, and finally, Brian, anything else you want to share with us about the baseball program that I haven't asked you about?
No, I think that's it, Bill. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for doing what you do.
All right. There he is, Brian Haley, head baseball coach, Endicott College, here on MSONewsSports.com.